It's 7 o'clock on Utah's Morning News. Good morning, I'm Tim Hughes.
And I'm Amanda Dixon, KSL's top story on the 7 o'clock report.
Provo City getting a new water treatment plant, and it's designed to help reduce the size of algal blooms in Utah Lake.
KSL News Radio's Adam Small begins our live team coverage, Utah's Water. Adam?
Amanda, the new treatment plant is replacing a current system built in the 1950s. It can process up to 21 million gallons of water per day, and when it does, it will remove much of the nutrients that feed toxic algal blooms in Utah Lake once the water gets there. Though it likely won't be in operation until full operation until March of next year, it could take a couple of years then to see a really significant change in algae on Utah Lake. Reporting live, Adam Small, KSL News Radio.
Division of Water Quality Director John Mackey tells KSL TV the new water treatment technology should lead to less algae in Utah Lake.
It's less food, if you will, for algae to grow out there and create these difficult, harmful conditions.
This new plant is expected to cut those nutrients algae eat by about 80%.
A big project along the shores of Utah Lake and Vineyard is looking for momentum. KSL News Radio's Eric Cabrera continues our team coverage.
After a two-year hiatus following the controversy surrounding the now-defunct Utah Lake Commission, project founder and lifelong Vineyard resident Jake Holdaway sees a better future for Utah Lake in sight. By bringing cattle onto his lakefront property for 90 days, they were able to graze on the overgrown phragmites blocking the lake.
It's pretty incredible how many are wanting to jump on board and be involved, and so it's really exciting. We hope to have, 10 to 15 parcels by the end of the year and get citizens back down to the lake.
One key aspect of the project is completing a bike path along the lake, ultimately connecting all sections and encouraging recreation. Eric Brera, KSL News Radio.
Around 100 of Utah's dams need an upgrade, but how long would it take to make all those repairs? KSL News Radio's Peter Johnston has more on the coverage of Utah Water. Peter?
Tim, it could take 100 years to actually get all of them patched up. Assistant State Engineer Stream and Dam Safety Operations Everett Taylor breaks down the state's progress.
I'd say about 80 that we've done evaluations on, but really haven't started any rehabilitation design or construction, and then 20 that are in some phase of that.
Taylor says these are all what he calls high-hazard dams.
High hazard if they failed, high likelihood of loss of life. Moderate hazard if they fail, high likelihood of significant property damage.
Taylor says current funding from the legislature allows about only one dam safety project per year, so it could take more than my lifetime as is to strengthen all these high-hazard dams. Reporting live, Peter Johnston, KSL News Radio.
KSL's top national stories now. Baltimore City leaders are blasting the owners of the cargo ship that lost power and slammed into the Francis Scott Key Bridge last month. ABC's Andrew Dimbert has details.
In a new court filing, lawyers for the city argue the Dolly's owner failed to repair known power problems before the collision, saying even before leaving port, alarms showing inconsistent power supply on the Dolly had sounded, but the Dolly left port anyway. The company has sought to cap its liability at $43 million, but Baltimore leaders argue the liability should not be capped, claiming the company's negligence caused them to destroy the Key Bridge and single-handedly shut down the Port of Baltimore, a source of jobs and revenue for the city.
Six people died in that collapse.
A new high-speed train line is now under construction, and it will follow I-15 from near L.A. to Las Vegas. Vince Saavedra works with the Southern Nevada Building Trades and says they're already getting calls for workers.
Oh, I'm just excited and ready to put folks back to work. We got a lot of hungry families locally that are ready to get back to work.
The electric-powered trains will cut the four-hour trip across the Mojave Desert to a little more than 2 hours. The government anticipates 11 million one-way passengers per year, with fares comparable to airline ticket costs.
UTA is planning to start construction on its S line at Fairmount Station in Salt Lake City this summer. The line will be extended along 1100 East and Simpson Avenue. There will also be new double tracking between 500 East and 700 East to help ensure the streetcar runs every 15 minutes. It's set to be finished in 2026.
A teenager is recovering after a 40-foot fall.
Grand County Emergency Medical Services joined forces with a search and rescue crew and workers from the Bureau of Land Management to save a 17-year-old who had fallen about 40 feet. A Facebook post says the teen was able to use a Garmin inReach device to help call for help after falling along Potash Road. After being treated by a paramedic, the teen was carried to a nearby ambulance. Don Brinkerhoff, KSL News Radio.
First look traffic on the 7 o'clock report, and here is Andy Farnsworth.
Well, we've got slowing on I-15 a little bit in Murray around 53rd South. It's pretty backed up on several west side streets, including Mountain View and Bangor near 3500 South. Cleanup of a crash continues at the ramp from northbound Bangor to westbound I-80. We've got a HOV lane restriction on South 15 going from Roy to Clearfield that's slowing traffic a bit. I'm Andy Farnsworth in the KSL Traffic Center.
KSL weather now with Matt Johnson. Nice and warm today and tomorrow before the rain moves in.
Partly cloudy today with a high of 74. Tomorrow, 80 degrees and mostly sunny skies. 69 for your Thursday, and we've got a chance for thundershowers. Looks like the wetter day is Friday. Chance for rain, 58 the high. 60 mostly cloudy on Saturday. We'll jump to 63 partly cloudy.
Matt also says it's going to be a little breezy tomorrow, pushing those warm temps our way.
Salt Lake City has one of the highest concentrations of construction workers in the country. A study from Construction Coverage found the industry in our state's capital city employs more than 56,000 workers. We see them all the time because they park, a lot of them park across the street to work at the various projects.
Yeah, and always waiting at the Home Depot, you know, just in case you need some help. The Biden administration has finalized the first ever minimum staffing rule at nursing homes. The mandate requires at least 3.4 hours of nursing care per resident per day. This only applies to facilities that receive federal funding. It also requires a registered nurse to be on site at all times. Some facilities are saying they won't be able to fulfill the new requirements and they may have to close.
Gas prices are up again.
For weeks, prices have been going up. The Energy Department saying the average price nationwide for regular unleaded is now at $3.67 a gallon, up 4 cents in the past week. But in places like California, the average price for regular unleaded is now $5.24 a gallon. Analysts say some relief should be coming nationwide. Prices typically dip a bit between summer break and summer demand periods. Plus, refineries are ending a bunch of maintenance, and oil prices are down since the fighting started between Israel and Iran. Alex Stone, ABC News.
A man was killed in Richfield after his UTV collided with a car on Main Street. Police say the ATV driver was ejected during that crash and he was pronounced dead at the hospital.
Two men are recovering from minor injuries after a shed collapsed on them. It happened near 14th South and 9th East in Salt Lake City. Fire officials say one person was trapped under the roof and the other was hit by debris. The responding officers say the men are lucky to only have minor injuries.
I saw a video of this yesterday and I was afraid that maybe we had another incident, but last night actually marked the one-year mark since two homes slid off a Draper hillside. Mayor Troy Walker tells KSL-TV all home builders should use this as a lesson.
That lesson is they better do it right. They got to follow their plan. They got to make sure they follow their plan.
The city was the, or says, the majority of the cleanup from the destroyed homes has been completed, but Ann's Trail below the slide still has a detour.
Google has fired another 20 workers it said participated in protests denouncing the company's cloud computing deal with the Israeli government.
The group No Tech for Apartheid has led the demonstrations at Google offices in New York and California, primarily targeting Project Nimbus, the cloud computing software Google sells to the Israeli government.
I would not like to lose my job,
says California Googler Iman Hassim.
It is impossible for me to continue coming into work without loudly condemning Project Nimbus.
Nimbus!
Google CEO Sundar Pichai has made clear that he wants no politics in the workplace. Jim Ryan, ABC News.